to Europe. Seamus Kearney is our correspondent. He's based in Lyon. Hello, Seamus.
Yes, hello, Catherine, in the south of France tonight, but a pleasure to be with you all the same.
A significant moment for Ukraine, and its leadership might say not before time, given recent events in Russia's war with it. A funding breakthrough from the US.
Yeah, absolutely. So the green light in the US House of Representatives, of course, the figure there we've heard over the weekend, $61 billion. In aid for Ukraine. I think a lot of people in the Ukrainian government were saying that they thought this might not happen secretly behind the scenes. Just months and months of deadlock over this. Of course, President Trump opposed to this, and he was putting pressure on his Republican supporters to hold this up. But yes, the green light. I think celebrations in Kyiv tonight, and we have the president there, Zelensky, welcoming this, saying it's going to save lives, that it's, you know, really sending a message to President Putin that the US, its allies, are not turning their back on Ukraine. At the same time, though, Catherine, he's urging the US Senate, because we have the green light in the US House of Representatives, but it now has to go to the Senate for final approval. President Zelensky saying that needs to happen fast, and also President Biden has to waste no time in turning that bill into law. He's also talking about this quick transfer of long-range weapons, also air defense systems. He says urgently needed on the ground. It has to happen, you know, within a week, within 2 weeks at the most. So the Kremlin reacting to this tonight, also very angry, saying that this aid package, and to quote the Kremlin spokesman there, it's going to further ruin Ukraine. It's going to lead to more Ukrainian deaths. The Kremlin also criticizing actually a part of the US law that we're not talking a lot about, but this is the provision which is going to enable seized Russian assets to be sent to Ukraine to fund reconstruction. So Ukraine very happy that that's also included in this law. The Russian foreign ministry, I see there tonight, also quoted saying that Washington's moving deeper into what it's calling a hybrid war with Moscow, also citing the Vietnam conflict, claiming that the US is going to end up being humiliated in Ukraine. But celebrations in Ukraine tonight, but they say just don't waste time to make sure that those weapons get to us.
All right. It has been, there have been some significant blows of late to the Ukrainian cause, particularly the bombing of that energy infrastructure. And is there a general sort of sense at the moment? There's obviously a long conflict underway, and one where there have been virtual stalemates in parts of the country. But was there a sense that Ukraine was very much on the back foot, Seamus, in part because it is struggling for the equipment it needs?
That's right, and it's just simply coming down to ammunition in the most part. So just the artillery shells that Ukraine is needing. So Russia is really holding its ground right along the border areas. Don't forget, Russia is now claiming to control about 18% of Ukraine. And Kyiv has struggled to actually make any kind of breakthrough. It's just been holding those positions. It's been losing some territory. And it's not just the US. I think, you know, there was this talk about the fact that a lot of countries have promised lots of help, but it's just taking so long to get through. And I think, you know, that's going to be heartening, Catherine, just an example of the kind of help that Ukraine has been pushing for. Slovakia. We have a populist nationalist government there that back in October decided to stop sending ammunition, artillery shells to Ukraine. Well, in a rebuke to the government there, just this week, we've actually had a crowdfunding campaign launched by ordinary citizens. This is called "If the Government Won't, We Will" campaign. So this is, you know, thousands of people. The latest figure I see there, 46,000 individual donors in Slovakia saying, look, if our government is not going to send ammunition, We're going to do it. They've raised with crowdfunding almost 3 million euros, and that's just in a few days. So that's, ordinary Slovakians coming up to the plate and saying we're going to provide money for this ammunition to be sent. This is going to be sent to the Czech Republic. The government there is leading a campaign coordinating the purchase of artillery shells, some 20 countries involved. A little bit of secrecy about that because a lot of these countries are quietly buying ammunition on the international market. We're hearing that Germany, for example, the Netherlands, Denmark, they've been contributing funding for that. And so now this crowdfunding money from Slovakia, a country that said we're not going to send it, the people saying we're going to do it ourselves. That's going to be heartening for Ukraine because they say it's not just the US they were waiting for, it's also European allies to make sure that they can really get the equipment they need to turn things around, maybe even launch a counter-offensive in the weeks or months to come.
All right, now there's been a rebuild. This is after an inferno involving a Danish landmark. Please explain.
Yes, and they're actually saying this is Denmark's Notre Dame moment, if you like. So Notre Dame in Paris, the fire we had there back in 2019. So comparisons to that. This was awful, an historic landmark in Copenhagen, 400-year-old former stock exchange building known as the Børsen, right next to the Danish Parliament. Anyone who's been there will know this building, just absolutely iconic. So this inferno, this fire, we're still not sure what caused that fire, but it's caused extensive damage. Much like what we saw at Notre Dame back in 2019. So there was a massive spire on top of this former stock exchange building, known for its ornamental dragons. So, tourists will know that. So that came collapsing down, a lot of damage inside. The Danish Chamber of Commerce, I see there this weekend, promising there is going to be a rebuild. And I think inspired by what they saw in Paris. 5 years since Notre Dame, and we just heard over the last week or so a date actually for the reopening of Notre Dame. So December the 8th, not in time for the Paris Olympics. But nonetheless, before the fifth year, and a lot of people said, that Notre Dame could not be rebuilt so fast. It's true, Catherine, that we talked, in those early days, we talked about perhaps a modern rebuild. And I think what we're going to see with Notre Dame is something very much like a replica. So they've rebuilt the spire, the wooden parts of the cathedral. It's going to really look like it did. So that's going to be unveiled to the public. And I think now with this massive fire in Copenhagen, this is iconic, this building, this massive spire. What we're hearing this weekend is that experts in Denmark are actually in touch with the team in Paris just to see, to get some advice, to get some information about, what's the best way forward in terms of architecture, design, and what have you. We also hear that there's a team actually in Denmark that's actually planning to travel to Paris to take a look at what they did there. But I'm actually due to go to Copenhagen next month, and I just can't imagine the skyline there without the stock exchange building and that just fantastic spire, beautiful building it was right there in the heart of
Do we know what
Copenhagen.
caused the fire, Seamus?
No, so at the moment they say they're still investigating, and some of the experts I see there this weekend saying that it's going to take weeks to sift through the ruins to try to get any kind of indication about the cause. There's no indication that it was deliberate at this stage, that it was an arson attack. But it's true, actually, Catherine, it's worth pointing out, very similar to Notre Dame in Paris, this building in Copenhagen was actually undergoing renovation work. This year actually is the 400th anniversary of the building of that building, built back in 1625 by the monarch Christian IV. And this year there were lots of anniversary events planned, and there was a lot of renovation work. Some people are saying perhaps it was linked to the renovation work, some kind of renovation work with the electricity, with the soldering, etc. Very similar to what they said happened in Paris. But at the moment, the investigators saying they have to really sift through the ruins, try to find that out, and it's going to take weeks or months.
Thank you. Seamus Kearney is our Europe correspondent. He's in the south of France today. He's based in Lyon.